book of Daniel and chapter number 2 in the Word of God this morning. Daniel and chapter number 2 in the Bible. Tremendous book. And I'm confident that I'll not be able to do it all the justice that I would like to. But I'm going to keep right on plowing to God's glory. And we're going to get into Daniel's dream and get into the interpretation of it. And deal with that to some degree at least. And then on down through the prophecies of Daniel. And maybe the Lord can give us some understanding of the end time and the days that we're living in. I hope that He can. And if we can settle in our heart what's going on about us and the fact that God is a sovereign God that rules not only in heaven but on earth as well. And while the kingdoms of this world are being established in ungodliness, He's right along beside them establishing a kingdom within this kingdom that dwells in righteousness. That's an amazing thing. You know, Jesus told Pilate, He said, if my kingdom were of this world, said my people would fight, but said my kingdom is not of this world. Notice He didn't say it's not in this world. Of this world. Big difference. Big difference. All right, Daniel chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse number 14. Got a lot of scripture this morning. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Then that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to one and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. Some say he was the cook. Some say he was a butcher. I don't know. Others say he was just the man that done the slaughter work for the king. Said he went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah. I wonder if he found him or did Daniel find Arioch. I believe Daniel found Arioch, didn't he? That will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered and in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart, of thy heart. Now let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel and his courage and boldness, his grace. I thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness in the service of God. I thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege of being in church. And, Lord, to be able to sing the hymns and fellowship and sit under the Word of God. And I pray, O Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts today as to dear children. God, that you'll lead us into paths of righteousness. Lead us along in this life with joy in our heart and Lord, with a spring in our step. I pray, O God, that you'll help this morning the preacher to preach the Word of God. I pray for power and unction. I pray for deliverance of sinners, that they might be saved. I pray for your people, that God, that you'd give them grace and wisdom and understanding in the Word of God this day. Touch our hearts and open them, I pray. And I pray for a manifestation of the presence of God. I realize, Lord, that you're omnipresent. But I pray this morning for a manifestation of thy presence, thy power, thy grace, and thy glory. And we'll thank you for doing what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to try to help the church a little this morning, if God will help me. I got to thinking about you this week. And I don't think that we can move any further with God than what we have of an understanding of the Scriptures and of the Savior. And so I want to preach for a little while, and God, if God's going to have to help me, I pray that He will. Amen. But I want to preach to you for a little while this morning on the thought, understanding the secrets of God. I know that all of us here want to understand God and His ways, His Word, His will. We want to try to understand as much about spiritual matters as we can. And I don't think any of us will ever get so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I've heard some make that statement, but I've never seen anybody get that spiritual yet. And your faith, by the way, can grow no higher than your understanding of the Word of God. And so I want to preach to you for a little while on that this morning. Daniel had understood the secrets of God. Amen. He understood the dream and the interpretation of the dream. When nobody else in the kingdom had one iota of what God was doing, Daniel realized that God was doing what He was doing that He might show Nebuchadnezzar the thoughts of his heart, that He might make him to understand himself, help him to realize where he was with God. Now I want to say that the Lord wants that of you and I today. Amen. He wants us to understand where we are with God. Amen. He wants us to know whether we are yet blinded in sin. He wants us to know whether we're lagging behind, whether we're complacent, or whether we're faithful or unfaithful or zealous or without any zeal for God. He wants us to know where we are. And to do that, the only way we can is to understand the mind and the will of God for our life. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon here, had dreamed a dream that awakened him and left him greatly troubled. The king had no understanding of the dream, nor did he remember the dream itself. That which distressed Nebuchadnezzar greatly was hidden in the secret places of the Most High God. Now, I want to say to you today that what distresses you and I most, and what distresses the rulers of this world greatly, they're all hidden in the mind, in the secret place of the Most High God. But I'm glad, thank God, that we have a God that is able to reveal those things to you and I for our good and the glory of Almighty God. Now, old Nebuchadnezzar called for the magicians. He called the astrologer. He called for the sorcerers. He called for the Chaldeans, but none were able to show him the dream nor the interpretation. Now, this so enraged the king that he made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be slain and their houses made a dunghill. Now, I want you to remember that that number included Daniel and the three companions that Daniel had. Do you know, church, that the things that are decreed in the White House will affect you and I greatly? I want to say this, and it is not in my notes, but I'm telling you, we better learn how to vote. And we better learn who to vote for if we're going to maintain any of our rights in America, friend. We better learn to vote, who to vote for, and make sure that we go out and vote. Because I'll guarantee you, friend, that the spiritual wickedness in high places is working overtime. And if the devil has his way about it, it'll not be long until there are no privileges whatsoever for a child of God. He'd like nothing else than to deprive us of our religious privileges, our religious and spiritual freedom, and hold us at bay without any liberty whatsoever to serve Almighty God. Now, I want to say to you that there the devil has his crowd in Frankfurt and in Washington, amen, and in Madisonville that will do everything that they can do to hinder the work of God and deprive you and I of enjoying the religious privileges that our country was founded upon. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar said, I want it the way I want it, or you won't have it at all. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is the mind of Antichrist. I'll have what I want, or I won't have anything at all. I'll have it my way and not yours. Buddy, I'll tell you, we're not living at Burger King. Amen to God. That's right. We better find it God's way. Amen. That's right. Now, verse 17 says this, that Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Daniel, my friend, understood the secrets of Almighty God. Daniel had the key that unlocked the mind of God. Daniel had the key that opened up the Word of God. Daniel, my friend, had a plan that would illuminate the Scriptures, open up the mind of God, and reveal to Daniel what it was that troubled the king and what should come to pass in our society. Now, I'm telling you that most folks today are absolutely blind to spiritual discernment. We are absolutely void of understanding, void of knowledge, and I'll tell you, it is because through the lack of knowledge that the people of God are destroyed. Son, I'm telling you, God doesn't put a premium on ignorance. God wants us to know the Bible and understand the Bible and live by the Bible for the glory of God and have an understanding of things in this life, even the secret things of God. Now, I saw something in that verse that amazed me. You know these boys' names had been changed? Their names was no longer Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Later in the chapter, they're called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know why? It's there that the king promotes them to a place in a worldly kingdom. But when Daniel wanted something from God, he didn't go to carnal means to seek it, my friend. He addressed them with their spiritual name, with their godly name, with their holy name, knowing that only the holy and the spiritual are those that will ever have understanding from the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, Baptist, today's dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. Don't know what God's doing in her families. Don't know what God's doing in her homes. Like Brother Rain said in his message this morning, Some of them preacher boys down there got the idea they can drag in to church late and sit out of prayer meetings and lay on their backside, and their families will just automatically turn out right. I'm telling you, you're a fool, sir. If you believe that, you better put some effort in to salvage in your family for the glory of God. It will not just happen. You better understand the mind of God and the work of the devil and the power of the Holy Ghost and the church of the living God. If you ever understand what God is doing, it'll enable you to help your family. Amen. That's right. Some of you looking kind of strange. Daniel called them Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, boys, we can't walk in the flesh. We're going to have to get in the spirit. We got to be spiritual minded. I tell you, God doesn't reveal spiritual things to earthlings, to carnal minded people. No, He reveals secrets to those that have had their minds renewed by the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of the Lamb, oh yes, and have been sold out, separated, dedicated to serving Almighty God. Well, Brother Hall, I don't know what God's doing, getting the Bible. I don't know what's the problem with my family, getting the Bible. I don't know what's the problem with life itself. I'm going to tell you what I wanted to preach on tonight. I want to preach on living in a rut. Now, I'm telling you, that's where most people are today. They're in a rut, my friend. Everything has got down to routine, and there's no joy in routine. It's whole humbug life. Get up, do the same thing day in and day out. And I'm afraid we're living in a rut, and it's because we're not seeking God and living for God for His glory. Like I said earlier, the greatest joy I have is when I'm doing something for the Lord. I'm telling you, friend, you can get in a rut, you can get in a ditch. Life can become a bore. It can become a drag. It can lose its zest. Years ago, they used to take the Nesty plunge. I'm going to tell you what we need to do today is take the King James 1611 plunge, my friend, and plunge deep into the Word of God and launch out into the deep rut road, and God will surely give it to you. Amen to God. That's right. I want to interject two things right here before we get into the message. The dream itself concerns the times of the Gentiles. I'll say that again tonight. And the world powers during those times. He begins with the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and finally the Roman Empire. And the final world ruler, the Antichrist, will be the revised Roman Empire. And it represents the feet that are both iron and clay. Powerful, but no stickability. Doesn't have any continuity. Have you ever seen a world like the world that we're living in today, buddy? It seems like there's no continuity to nothing. Nobody is attached to nothing or nobody. It's a free lifestyle. If it feels good, do it. Now, I'm telling you, the rulers of this world are the same way. If it benefits me, I'll become an Arab today and a Jew tomorrow. That's the government in Washington for you. Whatever prospers me. I don't have in no stickability. Hard as iron sometimes and as weak as clay. Weaker than branch water at other times. Oh, bully, bully one day and backing up the next day. God help us to set our feet in the grace of God. Son, and be a nation. Amen to God. That is sold out to God, regardless of whether Hussein Arafat or that crowd in Russia likes it. All that bunch of countries are going to hell on a bobsled, friend. They've done denied the God of heaven and sold out to the gods of this world, and that crowd unsatisfies a bunch of reprobates. Amen, like it, lump it, hump it, or dump it. I don't believe Arafat could get saved if he wanted to. Cross the deadline. And we'll sell out to that crowd. Well, I can't say too much about that. The second thing I want to point out, the word secret. I'm preaching on understanding God's secrets. That word secret is mentioned 9 times in this chapter. 9 is the number of judgment, finality, and completion. And the Gentile world powers will come to completion and finality when the kingdom of God is set up on this earth and the Lord Jesus rules and reigns with a rod of iron. There is coming a time, my friend, amen to God, when that stone that's been cut out of the mountain without hands will find itself upon the toes of the revived Roman Empire. And the whole world structure is going to fall under the power of God. And then will the kingdoms of God and the kingdoms of Christ belong in the world. Bless your heart. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. There's coming a judgment day. There's coming a wrapping up day. There's coming a final day for the world. She's had her fling, but alas, alas, Babylon the Great is about to fall. Amen. I know that's right. The secret. How did old Daniel come to this? There is a plan. He had the plan, buddy. He was a man with a plan. Now I'm going to tell you that same plan can be followed today. If you want to understand the secrets of God, I'm going to tell you why most folks don't want to understand what's down the road a little bit. They're fearful. They're afraid of the future. I picked up the newspaper yesterday and had a thing in there that said this movie they come out with. Star, I never heard of the man. Said something about it was talking about Revelation 13. Those dragons that come up out of the earth. Showed some guy with a gun on his side and a little old cutout leather vest or something, and some kind of a space gun in his other hand, and talking about how that this guy's going to conquer the dragon that comes up out of the pit. I've got news for Hollywood and that bunch of devils. They ain't going to destroy the dragon that comes up out of the pit. But I'm going to tell you, there is one a coming, my friend, that'll destroy him with the brightness of his coming and a sharp two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth. I'm glad there's a doomsday a coming, but I'm on the other side of the doom. Hallelujah to God. I done made the cross, and bless your heart. Amen to God. Let the world crumble, and she is going to. You better pull up your tent stakes and get ready to get out, or you'll die in the flames of hell with the rest of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. No wonder Daniel said, blessed be God. Blessed be the Lord. He changes times. He changes kings. Armenians wouldn't believe that. It just happened that way. No, I got a God that said we're going to set Bill Clinton right down here for a while. And Mr. Gore with him. When it comes time, we're going to lift that crowd out and set Mr. Bush in there a while. And we're going to see what he'll do with Arafat. They're all bringing the plan about. So somebody said, now, preacher, I'm all for our president, but Bill Clinton would never have submitted to a Palestinian state. Amen. But Bush will. And son, it's going to have to come to pass. Woo! I'm glad that God, when He set this thing in motion, that He knew the end and from the beginning. And He said, I'll take care of everything in between as well. Amen. There's a little old Jewish boy by the name of Daniel that God revealed the secrets of God to. Made them known to him. Made them known to him. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's a problem when folks, especially preachers, start hollering, it's the will of God for me to do this, and 6 months later, it's the will of God for me to do something else. And I missed God and the time me to do something else. And God didn't open this door, so I'll go over this door. Are you? Well, they're missing the secrets of God. Amen. Now, I don't mean to sound ugly. I've got about five or six things I want to mention. I want to say the first thing you're going to have to know to understand the secrets of God. Now, don't fall out of your pew when I say this, but there must be a personal relationship to Christ. You've got to be saved. You've got to know God. You've got to be a child of God. You've got to be in the family of God. There has got to be a personal relationship in order to know and understand the secrets of Almighty God. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, God, the old Nebuchadnezzar called the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, and they could not discern the dream. All they could say is, "There's a God in, there's a God that don't dwell with flesh. There is a God that don't dwell with flesh. He can tell you everything you need to know about it, but I don't know." And come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm telling you, the pulpits across America in Hopkins County, Muhlenberg County, Webster County, they are filled up with men, my friends, astrologers, magicians, that claim to know God, but there's no relationship or they wouldn't live the way they do. That crowd wants to tell you can live any way you want to. I saw a woman used to be on the staff here up the town the other day wearing a pair of shorts. Claimed to love God. Saw a man used to be a member of this church uptown the other day wearing shorts. Used to be in this church. Claimed to love God. Somebody said, "Well, what's wrong?" I'm going to tell you what's wrong. When they went to a place where their pastor probably dresses that way. Come on in the house, boy. Oh, God loves everybody. Yes, but God still hates sin. I'm telling you, somebody must be a magician or astrologer when they don't understand the sanctification of the children of God and a holy life that God's called us to live. God help us. Go out and show your old flabby, fat guts, knobby knees. And I stepped out of the shower the other night and stood there. I looked over Miss Hall and I said, "Ain't I pitiful?" I said, "Ain't I pitiful? God help." If I saw an old man uptown the other day walk along, a pair of Bermuda shorts, but shorts up here in them old knobby knees and no shirt at all, walking there, an old bald guy. Must have been 85 years old. But I'm telling you, hey, you're going to have a personal relationship. Hey, they knew where to look. They knew there was a God, but they had no knowledge of that God. In fact, it said, "And there is none other that can," in verse 11 it says, "there is none other that can show it before the king except the God whose dwelling is not with flesh." Now I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that know where to look, but they don't know the God that they're looking at. I won't say there's a whole lot of members sitting on the pews, buddy, that get nothing from the Bible. That's why some of you's in a rut. That's why some of you, my friend, are bored and dull and life is dry and boring. I'm going to tell you why. You're like the five. You're like those birds at that marriage supper of Cana. Your joy, your wine has run out. You're like the five foolish virgins. Your oil of religion has run out. And you're running on air rather than running on God. Amen. Amen. That's why you in that rut. No personal relationship to God. Walk in the light as He is in the light. It didn't say set on your tail end in the light and He'll sit down there beside of you. God gives more light, continuous light. He is light. And if we walk with Him, we've got to walk in the light. Are you listening to me this morning? Praise God. They knew where to look, but had no knowledge of God. And without knowledge of Him, there can be no understanding of the secrets of God. Get what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And verse 10 said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. But it says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. In verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We have got a natural crowd that's trying to understand the secrets of God. That's why that idiot out in the glass outhouse stand up and tell you something good is going to happen to you today. Wonder if he told that to those 9 Israeli people that died just a day or two ago. I wonder how many of the folks in the Twin Towers listened to Shuler before they died. Wonder how many folks on airplanes had listened to a magician, an astrologer, a Chaldean, rather than listening to Daniel before they died. I'm telling you, no personal relationship in Christ. Natural man. That's why a lot of folks never understand God, never get nothing from the Bible. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. I want to say something to you, friend. Church members can run a long time on carnal knowledge. There is a carnal working knowledge of that book. Amen. But there is a spiritual side of that book. The just shall live by faith, and that's only possible as the Spirit of God relates to your heart spiritual secrets of God that will guide you along in your life. Amen. I imagine old Joshua was about ready to throw up his hands when he walked out yonder and looked at Jericho, and all at once he saw a captain of the host of the Lord. And that captain said, Joshua, don't get too frustrated, son. I've come here to show you how to do things. I imagine when the 122 kings and princes of the province of Babylon turned on Daniel, and Daniel went up to open his door to Jerusalem, fell down on his knees and began to pray. I'm sure that the God of heaven said, don't get frustrated, Daniel. I showed you the secret back there. I'll show you the secret here. Only this time, instead of just revealing to you a secret, I'm going to let you walk down into that shadow of death, Daniel. But there's just one difference. I'm going to close the mouth of the lions and make them a purring pussycat and lay down at your feet. If that had been most people today, they'd have been whining and a crying and a screaming and a kicking and a begging. You know why Daniel could go in the den of lions? Son, God had already revealed to him that great secret. Woo! Told you this story before. I tell it again. Years ago, Muddy, when God called me to preach, called me to be a missionary to go out to Arizona, I wanted to be like the rest of them, wanted a camper, a van and a camper. And I found a fella at a meeting one night, and he said, I'm getting ready to go on the field. I've got this van. I've got this camper. I said, I'll sell them both to you. I said, man, is this what I'm looking for? I said, I'll get back with you in a couple of days. Don't worry. I believe God will take care of that. No problem. That's exactly what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. That's the problem with people today. That's what I'm looking for. But I'm going to tell you, I got to read my Bible, and God's reading down through there, and God said, but God give them the request of their soul, but send leanness to their soul, blah, blah. And all at once the Holy Ghost said, stop, moron! Back up, son! Go ahead and buy the van, buy the camper, you can have it! But the soul's going to get real lean from it. I called that fellow and said, sir, forget the camper, forget the van. I'd rather ride a bicycle in the will of God than to ride in a limo outside the will of God. I'd rather live in a tent in the will of God. Brother Smith said some fella, that's one of his bosses built a house in Florida. 27 bedrooms. New York is where I want to be. God help us. No doubt the man's miserable, trying to make more and get more and have more. And I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm telling you, son, I'd rather live in a tent in the will of God. And have me a personal relationship with Christ. I'm glad I've been to Calvary. I'm glad I'm one of God's youngins. Oh, yes, I'm glad there's manna in the morning and manna in the evening. I'm glad there's bread and fish and flesh in the mornings and bread and water and fish in the evening. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad God whispers a little secret to my heart every now and then. I'm going to tell you before, I wasn't much worried about Doug and Lisa when they got married. I saw that chain on his neck and I had a problem with that. I had to preach that off of him. Lisa said, "Dad, can I get married?" I said, "Not to him." She said, "Daddy." But I wasn't worried too much about them. When Tammy and Steve got married, I'm going to be honest, I was pretty worried. But I began to pray and seek God's face. And as sure as I'm living, God said, "Let them alone! The secret of God, let them alone!" I'm sure that they would have been men that would have criticized me and condemned me for allowing my daughter to marry a man that professed to be lost. God said, "Let them alone. I know something down the road that you don't know." God said, "Riddle, riddle, Marie. I see something that you don't see, son." Woo! Now, see, that's why you need to understand God, son. Hey, God will help you be prudent and circumspect and walk in the light. He'll show you things down the road for your life that'll bless you or help you. Or He'll show you things down the line that you need to avoid. Stay away from them. But you're going to have some understanding. Understanding. And only the Spirit of God knows the things of God. That's why when people come to me and say, "Preacher, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? Think it's God's will for my life?" I say, "I don't have no idea." Because what man knows the spirit of man save the spirit that is in man? I don't know God's will for your life. I can look at things and weigh out some things out in the, and tell whether things are right and wrong. I got to hurry. I want to say secondly, Daniel not only had a personal relationship to Christ, but Daniel was persistent in faith. I'm talking about he believed God for something, folks. Now, I know we ain't running this morning, but I think I'm running pretty well. You're going to have to learn to believe God for something. The Bible said that, hey, Daniel went straight to the secret source. He went in to Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and Azariah and said, "Hey, gang! Nebuchadnezzar is going to kill us all unless we know the interpretation of the dream and the dream that he had." Amen. And said, "Hey, we better get a hold of God." Amen. You know, our problem, son, we want to fool around with the branches instead of going to the root of things. Go to the source of it. You know, Madisonville Building and Loan has been here in town longer than any bank in town. I like the little sign they put on their little marquee. We went down by there the other day. You know what it had on there? It had, "All other banks are branches. We have roots."
Amen.
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 Amen. Now we've got another bank. It's a new one and changed their name. They're US Bank. US Bank. I called it US. Amen. That's US Bank. Hey. They sought God by faith. They sought God by faith. Look at verses 17 and 18. "Then Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's companion that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." There. Not before then. There. See, Daniel had a little faith in God, believing God could do something. They sought God by faith. Brother Jerome says you got to have faith. But without faith, Paul said it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, here it is, must believe. I'm going to tell you why we have not, we ask not, and the reason we're not asking God, we don't believe God can do anything for us. Oh, we believe there's a God up yonder in heaven. But I think it's like Dr. Larry Montgomery said on Friday night, we believe there's God up in heaven, but we entertain the idea that He's in the far heavens and God is too far away to help us. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's not a place God isn't. And I've been guilty of this, praying for God's presence here, but Dr. Montgomery straightened me out the other night. He said, God's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. What we need is a good manifestation of that presence. You realize He's here this morning? Do you realize that the God that can open up a new world for you, the God that can open up your life and bless you and reward you and help you, is sitting right beside you?
Amen. Amen.
Reach out and touch Him. By faith, reach out. They that come to God must believe that He is. I wonder how many really believe that He is. One does. Thank you, Brother Jerome. Two, three, four. We're picking up steam. Praise God. Somebody said, I don't know if I believe it or not. The fool! The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Praise God, I'm glad that I believe this morning. Label me what you want. I am a believer. Oh, and I not only believe in God, I believe in the great God of heaven. Wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh, came to earth and died as me. I said as me. And for me. And by Him God shall freely give us all things. What's the matter, Buckaroo? They that come to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They believe God for an answer. They believe God for reward. And they got reward. The Bible said in verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man. Woo! Hallelujah. You know what Daniel done? Isn't this a wonderful thing? And I'm telling you, but then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of the kingdom. But Daniel sat in the king's gate. Daniel said, don't forget my brethren out there. They labored in this thing too. Can I show you something? I was praying last night. Hey, you know what I was praying for? I was praying last night and asking God to let us buy another radio station. Oh, I know what some of you would say. Oh, Brother Hall. I went home and told my wife the other day, I said, honey, I'm praying about buying another radio station. She said, well, you can't pay for the one you got. I said, you got to have faith, young lady. Amen. 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 Got to believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder. Hey, why ask God to give us another radio station or set up a low power or to launch us out into the deep and then not believe that God will reward us for seeking His face and doing it? Well, He will. He will. He's done put that verse there for that reason. Not only a personal relationship to Christ, prayerful attitude of, or a persistent faith in God, but a prayerful attitude of heart. You have nothing beside prayer. You have nothing without prayer. You have not because you ask not. You will have nothing. But by prayer you can possess all things.
Amen.
Anybody hearing anything? I don't care where we don't run no pews. I want you to get a hold of the fact that God is your God. And that your faith in God will open many doors and bring understanding of life to you and your family. And that it's obtained by prayer. Then went Daniel to his house and told the thing to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they prayed and sought the God of heaven. And then God answered Daniel and revealed to him the secret. You'd be amazed what prayer would do for your life. It was by prayer that Paul learned the outcome of the storm in Acts 27. They was out in the storm. Some of you's in a storm this morning.
Amen.
While those men were up there rolling and struggling and frustrated and thought God had deserted them, Paul was down yonder praying.
Yeah.
He come apart from the hustle and bustle and got in solitary place and prayed. And here's what he told me, brethren. He said, not a hair of your head would be lost if you'll stay on this ship. And said, I believe God.
Amen.
Amen.
But he prayed.
Amen.
He prayed.
Amen.
When they had burned Ziklag with fire, old David sat down and said, Lord, I need to go after these men. And God said, go! I'm talking about praying, friend. Some of you hound dogs won't even make a special Saturday night trip over here to pray. I want to share this with you. Somebody said, preacher, I can pray at home. You won't get it answered. Got quieter than it was. Now, I don't give a flip. I'm going to tell you why. You're in direct rebellion to what's going on at your church.
Amen.
You can't rebel to what's going on here and have God out yonder.
Amen.
Amen or on me, gentlemen.
Amen.
That's a fact.
Amen.
They prayed.
Amen.
The Lord revealed to Joshua while he was praying his plan to destroy Jericho.
Amen.
We have not because we ask not.
Amen.
Ask that you may receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. I'm going to tell you something. God sealed in my heart a number of years ago, Brother Jerry, that the key to spiritual success and understanding God and going with God and walking with God is in prayer.
Amen.
Prayer in that Bible.
Amen.
Bill Nolan told me 15 years ago, I said, Brother Nolan, if you had it to do over with again in the ministry, what would you change? He said, I'd pray more.
Amen.
They used to have prayer room at Tabernacle upstairs back behind that choir. I'm telling you, boy.
Amen.
Nothing like it. I've went in there before and seen that old 70-year-old man down on his knees in one of them little oak pews and begging God for the power of God, help of God in the church.
Amen.
You can't get folks today to pray.
Amen.
You know why? No faith to believe God and believe that He is, or else no relationship to God. Who's your children go to when they want something? Is there anything you withhold from them if it's within your power to give it to them? No. Nothing. I want to say number four. I've got two or three more of these. I want to hurry. Daniel was prudent in the affairs of life. Now listen carefully. I know we're just talking loud. Listen carefully. Prudence implies caution in deliberating and consulting on the most suitable means to accomplish valuable purposes. Did everybody get that, or did you? It's a long definition and hard to understand, I know. But here's what I'm saying. It says in verse number 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Wonder where he got that counsel and wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed about. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. That's the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. You can't be double-minded. Here's a man that first, before he ever went to his three companions, found a place of prayer himself and said, God, I've got to have some wisdom. What can I do? And I'm sure God said, go down there and get them three boys. Seal yourself away all night and pray. He didn't go home and play internet.
Amen.
Daniel did not go home and watch television. He didn't go home and run dogs, ride horses, go fishing, deer hunting, turkey hunting, squirrel hunting, or rabbit hunting. He went home and he prayed. And he did it with great deliberation. He didn't get frustrated, upset, worried. He didn't lose his cool. He sought the Lord prudently in verse number 17. Daniel sought the help and wisdom from friends. Here's what God says about prudence. Proverbs 8:12 said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And find out knowledge of witty inventions.
Amen.
I'm preaching on understanding the secrets of God.
Amen.
Wisdom.
Amen.
Dwell with prudence.
Amen.
I don't just fly off the hub and do something.
That's right.
I sit down and think about what I'm doing.
Amen.
And I get counsel to do what I'm doing. That'd be good advice on financial business.
Amen.
Jobs.
Amen.
Marriage.
Amen.
Proverbs 12:16 said, a fool's wrath is presently known.
Amen.
But a prudent man covereth shame.
Amen.
You know why I know some of these preachers are as phony as a $3 bill? They look like Bill Clinton on there. I could name some names of some of them. All they want to do every time they get up in front of you is glorify the sin that was in their life before they got saved. And my Bible said a prudent man. We had a man 2 years ago in our Jubilee stood right there preaching and told an entire congregation of people that him and his wife bedded down together before they ever got saved. And I saw that woman's face go. A prudent man conceals shame. I'm not going to hang my dirty laundry out for everybody to look at it. There ain't none of your business how many holes I got in my drawer. And then ain't none of my business how many holes you got in yours. Whether I got a hole in my toe of my sock or not. I have known Jerry Robards for... Brother Jerome. I've known Brother Jerome for probably close to 14 years. And I've never heard him say one thing about his past life except God reached 365
Amen.
Feet. Down. I've heard him say, I lived a wicked life.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says that. Well, you won't get up and tell all that stuff.
Amen.
Right? Preachers gloat in that. These children's homes, come on now, these children's homes, you make these little girls step up on the platform and tell everything that happened to them when they were little girls back on the streets of Chicago and Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and all them places.
prudent man.
Right.
Conceal. So, and you know why they see it? They don't see any shame in it. Most of them see nothing wrong with adultery and fornication and all that mess, and drugs and all that. God help men that will get down on the job. And start discussing their family life with other men on that job. I've got news for you. What goes on in secret places at my house is my business, not yours. And what goes on in your place is your business and not mine. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaimeth foolishness. In other words, a prudent man. Daniel was a very prudent man.
Amen.
He sought the Lord prudently. He got counsel. He got wisdom. And he did that because he was a prudent man.
Amen.
He didn't, the minute that God, I'm sure that when he sought counsel, when he went to Arioch with counsel and wisdom, that God had already told Daniel, if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to give you the interpretation of the dream. He didn't go running into the king and say, praise God, hold on, I got it, man. No, he went back and with prudence.
Amen.
He followed the plan of God in his life.
Amen.
God said, go down there and pray with these fellows. So that's what I'm going to do. And pray all night long, that's what I'm going to do. Then God.
Amen.
You ever been around somebody just, and most of us are that way. Be quite honest. We tell everything we know. We can't keep nothing secret. We got to tell everything that we know. Now, here's one that I hope I'd like to got here with a little more spirit in the service. But you better praise the Lord for what light He gives you, friend.
Amen.
When was the last time that God showed you something and you really just, throwed a Baptist spell for it? No, I wouldn't do that, preacher. I'm going to tell you what Daniel said.
Amen.
Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His.
Amen.
And He changes the times and the seasons.
Yes,
you know what Daniel is saying there? Come on in here. Daniel said, it was time for me to die.
Amen.
And God changed all that.
Amen.
He goes on to say, He sets up one king and sets down another. He saw that kingdom. His dream was of the entire Gentile age and all the rise, that image standing there, that head of gold, and silver arms and breast, and the belly of brass and legs of brass and clay.
Amen.
Daniel saw the entire Gentile age. Said, thank God we serve a God that sets up a king and sets down another one.
Amen.
I won't praise Him for that.
Yes.
And He revealeth secrets to men.
Amen.
He's made that known to me. And Daniel put it down in a book for you and I today.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
How many of God's secrets do you understand?
Amen.
He praised Him for His revelation, His power, His providence, and His authority.
Amen.
I wonder what we're seeing in the secret places of God today.
Amen.
What's God revealing to you? I'm going to be honest with you. Most of you are in the rut.
Amen.
If I could get in that baptistry, I'd show you what a rut is. About all you can see is just a little bit over the top of it.
Amen.
You don't know where you're going in life, what you're doing.
Amen.
Confused as a termite and a yo-yo.
Right. Amen.
Life has become a drag, a bore. Church
Amen.
Is a drag, it's a bore, it's humdrum.
Amen.
One glimpse of Him.
Amen.
Would change a lot of that in your life.
Amen.
It'll soup you up, buddy.
Yes.
Soup you up like a wildcat. Understanding God's secrets. Let's stand together.